Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing?
Gloomy day here in North Carolina, but I don't think it was the weather that's got me down today, that's for sure.
I'd say Packers Nation, well, I know across the world, because up here in Canada, it doesn't feel that great. It's, yeah, unfortunately, not a great day for the Packers. 2020 Championship Sunday. I mean, the same game result as the 2019 championship game, unfortunately. Just my quick emotional reaction to this, I don't feel as utterly hopeless. Like just the sheer embarrassment of what last year's game was. This year, they had a chance. They could have won it, and that almost sometimes makes it worse. But, you know, considering the quality opponent, it's tough. But what are your quick thoughts about it?
I think Aaron Rodgers said it bad when he said gutted, because I feel gutted. that's no disrespect to Tampa Bay, and they can say what they want. I really believe we were the better team, and we had the chances to win that game, and we failed. And that's on us. You know, good teams win. They took advantage of mistakes, and we couldn't. And I think that's what hurts the most. You can go back to that Seattle game a few years ago, and yeah, that one was bad, but Seattle, were we really better? That's debatable. And last night, oh man, this one's going to sting for a long time. I guess that wasn't short.
Oh, well, I'm sure you could have gone a lot longer than that. Yeah. But you're right. You could make the argument they were the better team, at least in certain regards. Time of possession, 34 and a half minutes for the Packers, 25 for the Buccaneers. You know, in spite of Aaron Jones. Sorry. Wow. That's not so funny, but you know, he fumbled twice. They recovered once, but you know, two turnovers for the Packers, actually Buccaneers three. So the Packers actually won the turnover battle. They had more yards, although it was pretty close. They had more first down, third down conversion, 8 of 14 for the Packers, 9 of 14 for the Bucs. So marginally better on Tampa side, but a lot of key areas the Packers did well in, but I think you mentioned taking advantage. What, 6 points off turnovers for the Packers, and for the Bucks, was it 14?
Yeah, two touchdowns off those turnovers. And, I mean, that and the score before the half, and that was the game. That really was. That's all they needed to do to get that game. You know, just awful, awful sequence of plays.
Yeah, for me, it really, as soon as Jones fumbled, it kind of felt that was... that was kind of it, because they, you know, they had, you know, just the way that the Buccaneers are and the way Tom Brady plays. It was true in the divisional round against the Saints. Every turnover the Saints committed, it was a touchdown or points of some sort for the Buccaneers, but usually a touchdown. Kind of felt that too. But as soon as, I mean, it was a 17-point deficit in the second half, and that felt impossible to overcome. Ultimately, it was. Well, actually, not really. It was possible. They could have done it. So we're not going to say impossible. They probably could have, and maybe almost should have, but they didn't. And that's where the game lies. So while they were down 28-10, I mean, I do. Unlike last year, where I mean, it was a bit bigger of a deficit. But unlike last year, it just seemed like the game kept getting worse and worse. Like they had no traction at all. They couldn't make anything happen. Whereas in here, at least, okay, you know, they got enough drives that were successful. Certainly in the second quarter, it looked good. Apparently that's their key quarter, which is nice to see. But, at the very least, I feel better about this game than last year's game just because it was close. But yeah, it stings that they could have won.
Going back to what you said, you know, Tampa Bay forced six turnovers this postseason. They scored on every single one. That's how you win in the playoffs, right? So I'm not taking nothing away, because guess what? When they made their own opportunities and they capitalized. That's why you win, right? You know, and as far as us, like you said, hey, if you tell me Tom Brady's going to throw three interceptions, we're going to have 10 more minutes of time of possession, more yardage, and hold them to about 3 yards per carry rushing, I would have told you, hey, we won by 20. I would have said that to you. Oh, we won by 20. And unfortunately, it's the other way around. Just deflating. And I get, you know, hats off to this team. When they got down 28-10, They could have went belly up. They could have, you know, packed it in, and they didn't. So that says a lot about the character of this team. Yeah, we still lost, but this football team battled back, and they still had three shots where they didn't score late in the game, where they could have maybe, you know, taken over, but they never quit. So that's something to be proud of. I'm a proud Packer fan through and through. You know, I can't imagine what they're going through, because they didn't plan on losing. That's for dang sure. And I really didn't either. So, oh, man, just tough pill to swallow. It's hard to get to this point. So, like, Aaron Rodgers, first of all this narrative that Aaron Rodgers is going to demand a trade and all that, that's BS. Nobody please read into that crap. That's crap. It's complete garbage. I'm not even going to entertain that anymore. But I understand what he's saying, that, you know, there's so much change in the league, and this team's not going to look the same next year. And that's the hardest part, because getting to this game again is not easy. It's not. So there's a lot of moving pieces. So that, and I think that's what hurt the most for them, because they knew that they had the team this year. They really did.
Yeah, at least make it, but certainly contend for that ultimate Super Bowl ring, which they're not getting this year. The Buccaneers will get a chance. Rodgers won an interception. You mentioned Brady with three. Which quarterback do you think played better?
It's no question. Rodgers outplayed him. I mean, first half, Brady was on fire, right? You know, he played really good. He did, but Rodgers outplayed him. Like, I mean, I would almost go down to say, I know Ian won't like it, but, you know, the second half, Brady might have been a little bit of a liability to that team, because he just made bad mistakes at bad times, but you know what, the defense showed up, and for whatever reason, we couldn't capitalize. But, and that's not ripping Tom Brady, but Aaron Rodgers outplayed him. I mean, honestly, Rodgers' only mistake that everybody's screaming about is, why didn't he run it on that play? Yeah, I get that, and I guess we can go into it. But other than that, what did the man really do that was off? I mean, Aaron Rodgers was really good.
I've actually got a few. Sorry to burst your bubble there. I thought there was a few moments where he, you know, didn't see some of the optimal moments. I mean, there was the one play, Davante Adams, the back of the end zone, where he caught it, but was out of bounds. Alan Lazard wide open in the end zone on kind of a slant route. And, you know, Rodgers could have, you know, easy touchdown there. I believe they settled for a field goal on that drive. Instead, so there's a bit of a swing there, and there was a, not just that play, but I noticed a couple times where there was, oh, he can run maybe for a first down, but choosing to throw it instead, which is fair. You don't want to take hits against these linebackers. They're really quick, and there's no guarantee even at that last one that he would have scored on that play either.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, was he like perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. But at the same time, listen, they were getting pressures from the outside. Our tackles got their butts whooped all day long. So you hit a quarterback all day long, he's going to get jittery, and they have super athletic linebackers. So that's going to make you second guess a lot of stuff, right? So, you know, I get it. There was mistakes, you know, with the Lazard thing. You know, they did that run pass option at the goal line where Roger, I mean, that's an easy touchdown. Lazard wasn't even looking. So, you know, Rodgers, if something like that happens, he might not be looking your way, you know, anytime soon this game. So while he wasn't perfect, I think he was better, you know, and like you're saying too, with that one, maybe he doesn't get it. You know, he even said, you know, JPP probably would have tackled him around the three, you know, but it changes then the, you know, Matt LaFleur decision next, which, you know, the whole world is on him about. But Rodgers wasn't perfect, but I think he was better for sure.
Yeah, maybe first half, Brady did definitely look sharp. He was making all his throws on time, pretty deep. But yeah, as the game went on, it seems like the pass rush did also start to impact much better in the second half. I thought the Packers defense really played much better in the second half. Certainly, I mean, they were given a really bad field to start the Jones fumble right away. Awful field position there. I mean, they almost scored. It was almost a scoop and score, really. It was good on the offensive line. You mentioned that the tackle struggled, and there were times when, I believe Shaq Barrett beat a double team of Lucas Patrick and Ricky Wagner to get the sack, or to impact the play negatively. Like it seemed like, even with help, it was really tough. I didn't think Elgton Jenkins was necessarily as outstanding, and certainly as the week before. Tough to do when the rest of the line's collapsing. I thought Corey Linsley actually did a pretty good job. Never seemed like there was any pressure up the middle, at the very least. Like, everything was always edge rushes, which unfortunately led to 5 sacks. Packers were only able to account for 1. I believe that was Kenny Clark on a 3rd down. I thought he was having quite a game there.
He had a great game. I mean, he had 7 tackles within a yard of the line of the scrimmage against a really dang good center. So Kenny Clark had an amazing game. They shut down the run, right? That was their biggest scare. They had 1 run of 20 yards, and outside of that, I don't think they had another run over 6. I mean, the run defense was not the problem, right? I will say, like, LaFleur, who, you know, he was emotional in his press conference, which I like. You know, he's the right guy for the job because he is invested. But he basically, without saying it, Mike Pettine will not be with this team later this week. I'll tell you that right now. You know, the way he said that was the wrong call before half, calling out your DC, he's not going to be there. And that Kevin King really sucked, right? Let's be honest. Kevin King was god-awful in this game. And whether that was on him or not before the half, he should know you don't get beat deep. But why are we in single high on that play? I mean, come on. Like, this. You couldn't dream up a worse scenario than what happened going into half. And that's so deflating. And yet, you know, and then with that fumble, this team fought back.
Pettine definitely some blame. And I mean, it's been an issue enough this season. And again, that's not LaFleur's guy, right? I mean, that was a Mike McCarthy hire. He was retained, which I thought was the right decision. I mean, Matt LaFleur seemed to think he was the right man for the job, but as time evolves, maybe that task and those expectations change a little bit. But yeah, I think you're right. Kevin King was just awful. Maybe one of his worst games ever as a Packer. And I do expect it to be his last game as a Packer. I think, you know, maybe Mike Pettine almost seems more certain at this point, but I find it hard to think the Packers are going to want to bring Kevin King back. And we'll get into this obviously in the offseason, but a second cornerback opposite Alexander might be priority number 1 this offseason. If not, priority 2, maybe 3, but I think that's something that, even Shannon Sullivan, to be honest, I actually thought the secondary didn't play particularly well the first half outside of Jair Alexander. But even Amos and Savage were both struggling. As much as you say the run defense wasn't the problem, I think that I counted 8 missed tackles in the game. And a couple of them were like, maybe 3 of those were on the Leonard Fournette rushing touchdown for 20 yards. But, you know, even Alexander missed a tackle at one point, I think. But for the most part, he was good. But I felt Amos and Savage were struggling, but then played a spectacular in the second half. And those two remind me of where they were. But, I mean, Kevin King was just awful the whole game, and Shannon Sullivan wasn't that much better. It does seem like maybe even that slot corner is going to be up for grabs next year.
Yeah, I mean, so Sullivan, you know, he's a restricted free agent, so that's not going to cost anything. So I see them bringing him back. You know, he can grow off of this. But, yeah, I mean, what did Brady do? He picked on those two. Every time he looked to Jair's side, guess what? Bad things happened, right? Like, that guy, again, proved why he's the best corner in the league. Like, anytime Brady looked over there, bad things happened. Did he allow a catch again? Because I think he had 2 picks, which one wasn't really towards him, but every pass that way, he shut it down. But yeah, wow, did they pick on King and Sullivan, which, you know, again, I think a lot of it was scheme. You know, Mike Pettine's scheme was just not putting these guys where we know they're a weakness to what they wanted to do, putting them in the right situations. And when you already have a weakness and then you got a guy like Brady, who's the best, you know, and then you're going to give a disadvantage and then you're going to add on top of it, he's going to attack it all day long. And he did. That's what winners do, right? They see where you're weak and they're going to keep digging in that hole until you do something different. As far as Savage, yeah, you know, that deep ball, instead of trying to go for it, somehow just try to knock it down, right? But other than that, you know, like you said, the second half, the safeties were fine. They played good. Oh, I don't know, man. Just like a few plays in this whole game is different. just a few plays. It wasn't like they beat us up. I don't think anybody will say that. They came out there, and like last year with the Niners, they kicked the crap out of us, right? No doubt. They were better from start to finish. This game, I don't see one time where it's like, man, this Bucs team is just superior to us. They weren't. It was just little things that we couldn't do.
Yes, coaching, I think, played a big factor. I mean, even Bruce Arians made some, maybe some coaching mistakes as well. So not to say, I don't think Matt LaFleur was out-coached necessarily, but I also don't think, and I mean, this is maybe on him, maybe a bit on Hackett. I don't know, I thought that they could have called a better game in a certain sense. I think, and maybe this is on Rodgers too, but Valdes-Scantling only getting 6 targets. He was absolutely outstanding, and I thought they needed to use him a lot more.
Couldn't cover him.
You know, 6 targets, 4 catches. You know, the 2 incompletes weren't drops. Like, one of them was a ball that either Rodgers overthrew or Scantling couldn't quite get off the press well enough to get to where he needed to quick enough. But it was kind of one of those where that was uncatchable. Like, he was never going to be able to get that one. I can't remember the other incompletion. But, yeah, when he was open and the ball was coming, he caught them. He made, obviously, one of the biggest plays of the game on a ball that was maybe slightly underthrown by Rodgers. So great adjustment by Scantling. I mean, so sometimes we see him in his breadbasket drop it. So, like, to make the adjustment was good. But, I mean, the fact that he got the same amount of targets as Aaron Jones, that doesn't strike me as a good strategy. The way he was playing, I thought he needed to be more involved. And, you know, maybe that you couldn't get, okay, a lot of it was, you know, again, the 5 sacks, the constant pressure. You couldn't always get time to have him deep. But, I mean, couldn't you put him in the slot, have him run, you know, those plays, I used to complain about it, right? The 4 wide receiver clear everything out and then have Scantling run the cross alone. Why didn't this was the game to maybe do that? You know, why didn't they do that this game? I just felt that he was so great they needed to get the ball in his hands more than 4 times. And I think that's a big mistake. I don't know if that's, again, on LaFleur, Hackett, Rodgers, a combination of all 3, but I think that was, again, one of many factors that led to this loss. I think that the key, and I think you'll echo this, Jesse, is that it's a complete team loss. Like, there's a lot of reasons why. No one played perfect. Someone almost did, basically, but as you know, it's on the whole team. There's a lot of different factors why, and you can point the blame at a lot of different things, as you should, but it's definitely never on one person, certainly not in this case.
Like you're saying, MVS, he was on fire, man. Like, you know, feed the hot hand. I think they left some plays that he could have made, and he wasn't an option. And I think the same with Tonyan. You know, with them having, especially in the second half, with Winfield didn't play. And then the second half, I can't remember his name, but the other safety who caused both fumbles on Jones, he went out, hurt himself. Why did we not exploit behind those fast linebackers? You know, we were already doing the play action to get them to bite. You would just think that we could start sneaking stuff behind them. And we didn't attack the middle of the field like I thought we would have. You know, force these safeties to make plays, right? Force them to come up, and then, you know, getting them to come up, that's when you hit that double move to MVS deep again. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, of course, I'm not a coach. We're sitting here doing podcasts. Otherwise, we would be coaching. But even LaFleur said he didn't have his best game plan, and I agree with that. I think they missed out on some opportunities.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. Like, that was so perfectly said. Jordan Whitehead, by the way. That's the safety you're, I think, looking for. You know, a little perplexing. There's a few other things. Some of the red zone work after Jones got hurt, A.J. Dillon was looking good, running well. Why wasn't he the red zone? I remember on one possession, they ran Williams twice on, I believe, from the 6. It's like, that. I think Dillon's your better bet there. I mean, from what I'm gathering, that's the expectation for him next year. But if he's already shown it this year, why is that not? It shouldn't even be a next year thing. It should be a now thing if that's the case. With Jones out, I prefer to see Dillon in that role.
Yeah, and that's a mental toughness thing. When you saw him do that run where he stuck his hand in the dirt and then carried 2 guys for like another 7 yards, that's a punch a guy in the mouth kind of thing with Dillon. You're right. Why didn't we feed him one, at least one, give him one chance on the goal line? give that horse the ball and tell the other team, guess what? We're coming at you. Stop this kid. I would like to see him try, right? And we didn't do it. I get it. LaFleur has shown in his tenure here that, hey, in big situations, he really doesn't want to, you know, put a rookie in that. Hey, come on, man. This kid played hard. He had three carries, and he caught a ball too for a nice pickup, but he had only three carries. Probably should have been 6-10, but hey, it is what it is.
Dylan and Valdez-Scantling shouldn't have combined for 8 touches. They should have maybe got 8 touches each.
I agree.
So yeah, so I think, again, blame a lot of ways. Maybe they can learn. Hopefully they can get better from this, and that's definitely no guarantee to get better than back-to-back NFC Championship games, which is still an accomplishment, as much as it sucks to lose in those games. I know I'd rather be at least in that than losing the wild card round every year. Like, you know, as painful as it is, I, you know, I'd rather be the team losing in the Super Bowl than losing in the NFC Championship game, right? So, like, as far as possible, as best as possible, unfortunately, it wasn't enough for this team. But that's not to say that we can't talk about particular Packers players who performed, again, not quite perfectly, but almost there. And that alliteration was almost perfect. Last week we kind of outlined three players, although, you know, Jesse, you and I were split. I said Aaron Rodgers, you said Rashawn Gary, but we both outlined Kenny Clark. And, you know, I think both, you know, unanimously, easy to get consensus unanimous for two people, but decreed that Elgton Jenkins was the best Packers player last week. I wonder if it's similar this week, where we both agree on the number one player. But I'm curious, what's your top three look like?
I think we're going to agree on, we might agree on all three. So my number one's going to be Alexander. Again, you know, two picks, shut down his side of the field. I mean, nothing was happening. Yes, he missed that one tackle. That was him, by the way, when he bid hard on the Fournette touchdown. He came inside hard and bid on that. But other than that, that dude's just so good. Like, hey, guess what? You know, Evans is kicking our butt. Oh, just put Jair on him. Shut him down. Nothing. Like, he's so good. So he's my number one. Number two is going to be Kenny Clark. He dominated again. Had the sack. But he's taken on Jensen, who's a stud center, and they had their battles, right? But seven tackles, and they're all within a yard of the line of scrimmage. That is so good for your nose. I mean, and even the ones that he didn't make tackles on, he changed the direction of the running back so everybody else could clean up. He earned his pay. That's why he's paid what he's paid. He was awesome. And my third one's got to be MVS. For the drops he had this year, he's might be one of the best big play receivers in the league, right? You know, he was averaging over 20 yards a catch. You know, he's a big play weapon. He had a great game, and unfortunately, he didn't get more opportunities.
Yeah, he might have been number one for me almost. Well, not really. Basically, almost entirely agree with your list. I'd actually put Corey Linsley at number three. I thought he had an outstanding game. While most of the offensive line was chaos, I thought he was the one kind of calm factor. Vita Vea, I know, coming back, we were wondering how much of a big factor that would be. He was neutralized. He really had no effect on the game. But it was Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett off the edges. So that was really where the struggles were. And unfortunately, Linsley couldn't impact the game more. You're probably right with Valdez-Scantling. I mean, you know, coming with that massive 50-yard catch, like, that was huge. Because the game could have got out of control even more. Like, if he didn't make that touchdown. That was the only touchdown they had in the first half. And, you know, imagine if they'd gone down to 28-3. Like, that's where you could have seen that team completely collapse. But so you know, kept it alive. So I probably will actually give it to Valdez-Scantling. As much as Linsley was probably pretty good. I don't know. What did you think of Linsley, first off?
He was great. I would have liked to do four because, yeah, he was the next guy. He's just quietly awesome, right? Like, hey, don't worry, nobody's coming up the middle. You know, he just handles his business, and we had a lot of success running up the gut against this team. Like, we attacked the middle of this defense.
Well, considering the edges, that was kind of a smart choice there. I think easily Jair Alexander was the best player this on the Packers, but probably also the best player in this whole game. Outside, again, one missed tackle. You're right. You made a reference to it earlier. Zero receptions allowed, two interceptions, and honestly, I think that his best play of the game might have been on Amos's interception. They run a pick route on him because I think they realize, oh, okay, now they've got Alexander and Evans. Suddenly, we want to get Evans open. They run the pick pretty well, I thought, and he cuts like Shady McCoy in his heyday, you know, jump cuts and in stride catches to Evans to like where he was not open at any point on that route at all, and cut him off completely to where Amos came in. And I, you know, as much as Brady played really well in the first half, there might have been more opportunities for this. I'll get that in a sec. But Amos came in, and with Alexander cutting off Evans completely, it was basically going to be Amos catching that ball or nobody. You know, there was no way that Evans was going to be a valuable target. So, you know, maybe mistake on Brady's part. That play should have worked. The design worked. But Alexander, in spite of all of that, still maintained perfect coverage. And it led to a high impact play by a teammate. I thought that was just, if you needed one snap to show someone that he was the best corner in the league, you might show that play.
I agree. He was unreal. You couldn't scheme guys open against him, like you said. They tried to get pick routes and everything else, and he was sticky on his guys all day. He's so good.
All right, so now I want to quickly get into the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs won 38-24. Bills did recover an onside kick at the end to kind of make it close, but a little closer than what it was. But my quick takeaway is that of all the three quarterbacks that played, Josh Allen, of all the four quarterbacks that played this weekend, Patrick Mahomes was by far the best. And I was wondering with his toe injury if that was not going to be the case. But I mean, he looked fantastic. And, you know, if he plays as good as he does there, I don't know. Brady's going to have to play a lot better because just quickly, Brady almost threw another pick, or maybe potentially could have thrown another pick, but Will Redmond, instead of, you know, as a safety, looking up and pretending, you know, potentially having your eyes on the ball, tries to go for a massive hit on a player that was well covered, so really didn't need to, could have almost been dangerous to yourself or your teammate, and the ball's incomplete, tips up, and could have, you know, could have been a chance to pick that early and really make a difference in this game. And he's celebrating the incomplete. And that rubbed me the wrong way. And really didn't like seeing that much of Will Redmond in that game.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to bring that one up. I was just thinking about it a couple minutes ago. I'm like, we'll just let that go. But yeah, he went alligator arm and went for the hit when it's like, dude, like that was 7 points right there, because you know, that was right before half. Pick that ball off. Like, I don't understand the play there. Like, first of all, if he makes that hit, it's probably going to be a penalty because they're going to say that the receiver, you know, was defenseless. So oh my God. Yeah. I won't miss that play at all.
Well, okay. Actually, sorry. I think we're not done with this game yet. We'll move on to the Bills Chiefs in a bit. Is there one more thing you want to complain about? Get off your chest, because I know there is one thing that I have to talk about. I almost kind of forgot about it.
Letting them play all game, and then at the end, I mean, is that what you're talking?
Oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know.
Listen, I mean, if you're going to let them play. But there were so many blatant holds that didn't get called. And was that the right call at the end of the game? Yeah, of course. By definition, it is. But you let that crap go all game, and then Yep, that's all I got to say.
And something's wrong somewhere. If the standard is, he's pulling the jersey, that's enough to get it, then on Aaron Rodgers' only interception, Alan Lazard's clearly getting his jersey tugged.
Well, he had the shoulder pad. He had him by the shoulder pad. He turned his whole body, you know. And first of all, it wasn't even a jersey. I'm going to say more. It wasn't even the jersey. He had that like stretchy shirt, which it was almost like, again, it was King. So, you know, just more dump on him, I guess. It was almost like a basketball play where you play defense in basketball and you just kind of like put your hand on a guy all the time just to know where he's at and feel. Yeah, it looked bad, but that shirt is so stretchy. It did not do anything to change. Of course, the flop might have helped, but it didn't do nothing to impede the. I don't even know if the ball was catchable, but it didn't impede the route. And granted, by definition, he did have a hold on him. So, yeah, people can say stuff, but you didn't call that all game long, and you weren't calling it. And then you have a flag that late. oh my God. It just, that's where it's gut wrenching that the game ended basically because of that.
Yeah. And I mean, again, fault on the Packers, definitely much more than the refs. Like they needed to score on their opportunities. They didn't. But yeah, like there's something wrong there. One of those plays is wrong. Either because they both have to have the same result. If pulling the jerseys, what we're saying is the infraction, happens one way, doesn't happen the other way. Either you let them both go or you call them both. But yeah, definitely hurts to kind of, and you know, and you could maybe argue the Amos one, okay, early pass interference, but it's, now we're talking different of, okay, timing of calls. This isn't jersey pulled, jersey not pulled. So like, I really do look at those two. So either they need to let that last one go, or, and I don't care what Saints fans say, if the call is that they got it right at the end, then the non-call on Alan Lazard is the worst non-call in NFC Championship game history.
100%. It is.
Because you know, no pass interference on a play where you maintain possession and can still score, but your incompetent quarterback at this point of his career can't score, and you get the ball to start in overtime and you can't score. Like, that's you. When, oh, this causes an interception and right at the end of half, and we're going to go take it down and score on this massive, which again, Mike Pettine, Kevin King, a lot of fault to both of those two. You know, like that completely turns the tide. So yeah, definitely the worst, I would say the worst non-call in NFC Championship game history.
Yeah. And even with that, you know, like on that same play, on that last one there, if you'd see the blatant hold on Tristan Wirfs coming around the corner on Rashawn Gary, he essentially was behind him and put him in a half Nelson and was taking him to the ground. And the ref was standing right there. There is a still shot picture of it. How do you not? They had no holding all game, which there was no holding on either side. So I get it. Okay, if you're going to let them play in the trenches, cool. But if you're going to essentially tackle an edge rusher, why the hell weren't we tackling their edge rushers? Because they were kicking our butt. You know what I mean? Like, it was so blatant. And so I was screaming that before the ball was even out. It's like, wow, that's a hold. So that would have offset it. And then who knows what happens. But I could not believe that there was not a flag right there. It was baffling.
I will say there's some of those plays, I'm not sure Wagner could have even tackled Barrett, like even though in the music.
Okay, like, yeah, way to lighten it up. Yeah, you're right. He couldn't have done nothing. You could have given him a sledgehammer and he was going to lose. So.
Oh, man. Which, kudos to Shaq Barrett. I thought, you know, if you had to name one player on either side, I think it's very obviously Jaire Alexander for the Packers. I think it's pretty obviously Shaq Barrett for the Buccaneers. Devin White. Maybe that's why they lost, because I disrespect that rookie. He's a second year. You see, yeah, no wonder. Well, I guess it's done now, so I can say what I want about him. But yeah, Devin White, I thought, was phenomenal. And yeah, Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, like that trio really set the tone defensively for the Buccaneers. Held the Packers under 30 points. I mean, I thought both teams would be over 30, and Bucks barely got there, right? And I think that's definitely kudos to the Bucks defense.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, like I said, when they had to have it, they had it. You know, and those three guys, they made their presence felt. And hats off to them. Their playmakers made plays when they needed to make them. So, and that's why you win, right?
All right, so the AFC Championship game, yes. So the Chiefs win 38-24. As mentioned, I thought Patrick Mahomes didn't show any effects of that toe injury. Certainly none of the concussion, not a concussion, not really sure what was going on there, but he seemed fine. So looking pretty sharp for the reigning Super Bowl MVP as his team again gets the Super Bowl. Two receivers over 100 yards, Tyreek Hill, 9 catches, 172 yards. Travis Kelce, 13 receptions, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns. Pretty sure it's a tight end record for the playoffs. So
sure was. Yep.
That's, you know, if you don't have an answer for either of them, that player will torch you. If you don't have an answer for both, they're going to put up 38 points.
it's gonna be a track meet. I mean, you're not stopping them. They're scoring. Kansas City is a team to beat, you know, I shouldn't count out Brady, because every time you count him out, guess what? That dude figures it out. But right now it's Patrick Mahomes is on his own level, and they're scoring at will. Like, they kind of coasted all year, and that's what we're saying. Oh, their offense doesn't look good. Guess what? They turned it on. That team's good.
Yeah, and I mean, really, the Bills' offense had been doing so well, and it really, 2 weeks in a row now that they've been kind of, they've run into some really tough defenses, so kudos to those defenses as well. It's not that the Bills have been playing bad, although I thought Josh Allen, unlike last week where, you know, he was, okay, he, I think because the Ravens were such a difficult defense, I think they knew, I you know, being the home team, right, you're the favorite, they got the sense he didn't have to do too much, but maybe knowing he was going against Patrick Mahomes, I mean, that's how I kind of talked about it too. I thought this is going to be a game the Bills are going to have to win through the air. Josh Allen's going to have to, I mean, he threw it 48 times, but they weren't really close to winning. Made some mistakes and only one interception. And it's weird because there was maybe two or three other plays where he probably should have got picked off and didn't. And then it's the one where he puts the ball right on his receiver's hands, and you know, it's double coverage, maybe not the greatest decision, but he like, it's a pretty good throw and gets tipped and it's a pick. Like, that's the one that's an interception. It's a little funny there. But ultimately, yeah, the question is, you know, I think Tom Brady played better than Josh Allen. I think of the four quarterbacks this week, Josh Allen was the worst, not to say that he was horrible, but you know, first AFC first championship game, unlike the other three, so kind of makes sense. Maybe crumbling under the pressure a little bit. I know he did throw a pair of touchdowns, but ultimately didn't seem like he could keep up with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like he pressed a little bit. I think the, you know, Patrick Mahomes aura or whatever with him being there, it seemed like Josh Allen's like, hey, I got to score. I got to go. I got to do this. He played outside of himself. I really thought so. And he's going to learn and grow from that. I mean, this is his third year, and each year he's like gotten better leaps and bounds. But you kind of saw that guy on the big stage right there pressing, I thought. So, you know, hey, another offseason there. They get to figure out a few pieces with the running game and do a few other things. He's going to be in the mix for a while. The kid's got all the talent in the world, but he's not Patrick Mahomes yet. That's for dang sure.
So much success for Buffalo, AFC Championship game. Like, that's tremendous for a team that hadn't won a playoff game since 1995. You know, two more this year. So good for them. He'll grow and develop from this. And really, you're asking me, like, quarterbacks you want to build around based on age. You know, maybe, you know, if you include a guy coming into the league right now, Josh Allen, even with that, Josh Allen's still probably among the five quarterbacks you'd want to build with. Obviously, Mahomes is one of them. Deshaun Watson, to me, is very clearly number two. Trevor Lawrence, if he's as good as everyone thinks he is probably three. And then maybe Allen right there at four.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. I mean, yeah. You know, they're going to talk. Kyler Murray's up there, too. You know, whether I would or not, he's in that conversation. But most definitely, Josh Allen is a franchise quarterback. There's no doubt. He's a leader. No doubt.
I thought, you know, he and Cole Beasley have probably the best connection. I mean, he, you know, 11 targets for Diggs, but 6 catches, 77 yards. I think you'd expect more from Diggs. But again, tremendous defense by the Chiefs. We talked about it, I think, in the preview. Chris Jones, right? A key on the defensive line. Certainly was the case. Caused a lot of havoc and pressure. They really couldn't run the ball that well. Although I did think there was a couple plays where, I don't know if they were RPOs. I believe, I can't remember if it was the interception or not, but it was a play where, yeah, the way the offensive linemen ran it, two players pulled to the right and Singletary headed that way, but Allen kept it. And I believe that's the play where he threw the interception to Brown. And, you know, I believe it was in the red zone. Could have maybe made it more interesting there in terms of the game flow. And it seemed like that was one play where they were actually going to get space on the ground and maybe make a good gain. I believe it was first down or second down. And it wasn't a third down play. I do remember that, to where if you can gain 5-6 yards here, you're setting yourself up well. You're in the red zone. Like, this is good. And then instead, he, I don't know if he made the wrong read there on that RPO and kept it, and throws the pick. But you know, again, just mistakes. Wasn't perfect, but I mean, again, Aaron Rodgers, maybe, I don't know if he can call them mistakes. I think maybe his mistakes were more not making the plays more than making the wrong throws, but certainly Tom Brady made mistakes, right? So we're definitely not saying there's anything wrong with Tom Brady. There's nothing wrong with Josh Allen, but they're going to happen. Tough defenses against the Chiefs that they're gonna force you to make mistakes, and Josh Allen was the victim of it. And maybe the good news for the Packers, they were in the closer of the championship games. That's nice. Definitely the reverse of last year. And I think again, I come out of this with a better sentiment as the Packers, just to kind of tie it back to that. Did you want to mention anything about either game, Jesse?
No, I mean, like, it all comes down, hey, playoff football, you make the most of your opportunities, and the two winners did, right? You know, like, we're both kind of saying, you know, hey, the plays that were left on the field are, you know, the Packers or the Bills or Rodgers or Allen, you know, maybe they should have done this, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Guess what? The two teams that won, they made the most of it. And that's what it comes down to, right? That's the – football's a game of inches and a game of, you know, milliseconds, and – that's why those teams won.
And I mean, already mentioned it, like double-digit targets for both Hill and Kelsey. Like that was smart. Like that was Mahomes. I'm going to go to those guys, right? I mean, you know, why wasn't, you know, Adams had double-digit targets, but why didn't MVS? Guess who's third on the team in receptions? It's Byron Pringle. 3 catches, 22 yards. I think all of them were for first downs. At least 2 of them were, right? And so, like, Byron Pringle stepped up when he needed to. I mean, I believe he was, tied for third on the team in targets, along with Mecole Hardman, right? So his number wasn't going to be, or actually, no, he was second on the team in targets, or third, yes, five targets. I'm confusing 3 and 5. Maybe I'm King Arthur. Anyway, we'll be searching for that Holy Grail next time. But unfortunately, 2020 wise, there's no next time for the Packers, but there is, you know, Super Bowl coming up. We'll probably talk about that, much as it doesn't involve the Packers. Still, obviously, NFL news. We've had some Buccaneers, Chiefs guests on. Maybe we'll get them both on. I don't know. I should probably ask those before previewing that. But anyway, thank you all. As always, on Twitter at @FPC_Packers is where you can reach us. We'll be all the information on new episodes. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. And of course, download the full press coverage app. With the Super Bowl coming up, there's going to be obviously a lot of articles written, a lot of podcasts talking about it, and everything, of course, on the Full Press Radio Network. You get access to all of that through the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free again. So download that now. And Jesse, any final thoughts for this unfortunately final Packers game this year?
Oh, man. You know, what my normal one is, but I guess go in the off season, go Pack, go, you know, we got to win in the off season now. So looking forward and being positive towards that.
Yeah. We'll certainly dive into off season plans for the Packers. I think maybe even this was a good enough season. We'll probably want to ponder that a little more too. So Liam, you look for that after the Super Bowl, kind of just maybe reacting to that Super Bowl, kind of looking at this season as a complete, for the first time, and knowing, you know, what happened, what transpired, what were the stories, what were the games that really led to the path to the Super Bowl. Again, it went through Lambeau, the Buccaneers got through, and yeah, the Packers unfortunately are done for the year and have to persevere onto next season, which will be here, of course, joining you all the way on the Full Press Packers Pod.